Jesus meets us today in the fullness of his humanity, in communion with the communion of saints, all the saints, including those from whom their labors rest. The levels of temptations our Lord endures, as rendered by St. Luke, begin with the physical bread, continue to the cultural power, and conclude with the spiritual religion. Hunger, avarice, and pride beset us still in temptations near and far. Our communion meditation this Lord's Day, for the beginning of Lent, places us in the presence of the humanity of Jesus, in remembrance of his pain within that humanity, and in a grateful, if bittersweet, thanksgiving for that utter cruciform dominical humanity. Our communion meditation stretches out and back for millennia. We are heartened to recall the refrain, even the hymn of Deuteronomy, "Mighty hand, outstretched arm, display of power, signs and wonders. Mighty hand, outstretched arm, display of power, signs and wonders." Others too have faced in some measure ranges of unsolved troubles as we face ours today in planet, pandemic, politics, prejudice, pocketbook, and peril. The gift of freedom, the price of freedom, the protection of freedom have ever been at the heart of faith. And we are reminded of this in our experience across the globe right now, March 2022. "A wandering Aramean was my father," writes the Deuteronomist. We are not the first generation to be faced with peril and the price of freedom. And that itself can be a measure of reassurance. Our communion meditation settles us in faith, the faith which St. Paul can name with precision, located in baptism and belief, baptism and belief. These are sentences worthy of memorization. The word is near you on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on her. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Confession with the lips, belief in the heart, and we move forward into an open, uncertain, free future with all its dangers, costs, and joys. From here, it is a short step to the song, the psalm of the day, the singing of faith. After 18 months without the chance to sing the hymns of faith together, March 2020 through August 2021, we will not likely ever again take such a simple grace for granted. The psalm brings a communion in meditation on God in whom we trust, God in whom we trust. My refuge, my fortress, my refuge, my fortress. We sang in this sanctuary in hard days past over many years. Fallujah in 2007 and the nadir of a war that was contrary to Christian teaching, both pacifist and just war. A Syrian red line held and then not in 2013, see the sermon from September 8th of that year. The election in 2016, and a prior president's praise of Putin, and insurrection in 2021. Words have lasting meaning, Votes have lasting meaning. And there are times when you sing songs in the night with Job. Songs, hymns, are written still in this moment. For 15 years, we sat in a midweek service behind a professor, now retired and moved to Pennsylvania, Cheryl Boots, who writes hymns and sent one this week. Its third verse, Spirit who rejects the violence that your warring children spawn, you behold the pure and wicked. When hate strikes, what can be done? Lover of justice, flow down like waterfalls. Put out the fires of sick human greed. Do not tolerate the power mad. Teach us love that meets all our need. And a friend sent another earlier this same week, written 2 years ago as pandemic began, by Carolyn Gillette. Its third verse. May we cherish those around us as we never have before. May we think much less of profit. May we learn what matters more. May we hear our neighbor's suffering. May we see our neighbor's pain. May we learn new ways of offering life and health and hope again. Maybe you could write a three-verse hymn this week. You don't have to be a Methodist to rely on singing, the art form available to the poor and particularly prized by the poor, but it doesn't hurt. Even the poor can sing. Everybody can sing, and so the Psalms. May we learn new ways of offering life and health and hope again, of singing life and health and hope once more. Our communion meditation upon the complete humanity of Jesus our Lord embraces us in the Gospel of Luke, the gospel of humanity, compassion, justice, and love. It is the season of Lent, and again, come this first Sunday in Lent, we meet Jesus in the wild, in the wilderness. And there, he resists. In the time-honored tradition of a three-part story, we are given a lesson about making and keeping human life human. God is at work in the world to make and keep human life human. God is at work in the world to make and keep human life human. Here, as in our other gospels, the Lord faces and masters the various temptations which we also know. They include a kind of will to power, a sort of pride, and a type of avarice. We come to church with some experience of temptation and resistance. And as the songwriter says, good experience comes from seasoned judgment, which comes from bad experience. We are in worship this morning to attest to something, as human and as fallible and as frail as we are. Faith is the power to withstand what we cannot understand. Worship is the practice of faith by which we learn to withstand what we cannot understand. God is the presence, force, truth, and love who alone deserves worship. And worship is the practice of faith by which we learn to withstand what we cannot understand. Worship prepares us to resist. So, just so, we see Jesus again in the wilderness. To resist all that makes human life inhuman. So here you are. Come Lent, come Sunday, come 11 a.m., today again, a walk in the wild, in the wilderness. But St. Luke brings a different look. Luke is our gospel guide this year, and he asks us at virtually every turn to find our way into a meditative communion, communion in Christ with God and with neighbor. So today, in the shadow of our Lord's temptation, we are invited to a prayerful resistance to the blandishments of wealth, power, and fame. Perhaps you are not yet ready for such resistance to such blandishments. Maybe, though, say at age 19 or at age 79, we may be ready for different reasons to observe the limitations, the fairly severe limitations, truth to tell, of wealth, power, and fame. If nothing else, a worship service on a sleepy university campus in spring break, long before spring, in the frozen month of March, as all year, is meant to ring this bell, sing this song, tell this tale, recall in meditative communion that we are utterly mortal and lastingly fragile. One shall not live by bread alone. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. You have noticed that here, as is his duty and custom, Luke has amplified the story of Jesus he inherited from Mark in accord, to some degree, we trust, with the condition and need of his community. The preaching of the gospel attempts to do the same every Sunday morning. Luke's predecessor, Mark, has only a couple of lines about wilderness temptation, wild beasts, Satan, and angels. But Matthew and Luke have both added in another story within the story, a spiritual temptation to accompany the physical deprivation. Jesus cites here Deuteronomy 6 and 8. Jesus models dimensions of spiritual temptation and struggle. He models humanity for humanity as a human among humans. Not bread alone, not power alone, not glory alone, not the blandishments of wealth, power, and fame, but the struggles, the spiritual struggles, and the tragedy therein that lines its way through life. The tragedy that so impersonally and unfathomably upends life, as our globe now sees and feels in Ukraine, with its citizens the victims of warfare that is preemptive, unilateral, imperial, unforeseeable, immoral, post-Judeo-Christian, wrong. Would that we as a nation had never failed in the same way. But in our past, say Iraq 2003, we have. And we should continue to learn from our past with both humility and compassion. Even as we live in safety in a secure college community, we bear in mind other young women and men like those now in Ukraine who defend their homes, land, and families at great and at sometimes ultimate cost. They bear the hard hurt and cost of learning virtue and piety, learning to distinguish truth from falsehood, virtue to distinguish good from evil, piety to distinguish life from death. We again face the bitter truth Dr. King named: injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And as President Zelensky said last week, our weapon is truth. For many of us, our thought feeling is that there is more we can and should have done. May we be mindful, at least, of all those near and far, young and old, known and unknown, who face falsehood, evil, and death, and all those as well who yet lack shelter, raiment, safety, and nourishment, those on the road. Indeed, and in full, our minds and hearts dwell this day on the children, women, and men immersed in the tragic warfare that has been brutally and needlessly unleashed in and on Ukraine. We pray for them and for President Biden and other world leaders working to restore peace and justice. In particular, we hold close to our hearts those Boston University students and staff with homes and families in these regions. Utterly realistic about the tragedy and harm now unfolding, we yet hold on to a distant hope for a better day to come one day. Each one of us has some responsibility and some freedom to bring to bear upon today and tomorrow. And that thought and spirit are right around us. Communion meditation includes this call. Love means taking responsibility. And there is a stirring near and far to reach out and help somehow. We had a call one day this week asking whether Marsh Chapel could support a plaza vigil on behalf of Ukraine. Our staff made space, found candles, welcomed students, and supported what will not be the last vigil in the face of the lawless brutality, the needless carnage, the carnage and slaughter executed by Putin's Russia. There is a stirring near and far to reach out and help somehow. Later in the week, while many and others traveled away for spring break, one fraternity set up shop outside the student union. The Brothers of Theta Chi distributed information and simply but clearly asked, "Would you like to make a donation on behalf of those suffering in Ukraine?" It was the best invitation of the semester. "Yes, I would. Thank you for giving me the chance." There is a stirring near and far to reach out and help somehow. The Questrom School of Business, in the business of business, but shepherded by wise leaders who have not forgotten learning virtue and piety, called together a strategy meeting on Ukraine. They rightly called our university chaplain for international students. We have that fine role here, thanks to your support, to bring spiritual advocacy and ministerial support for the 25% of our students who come from overseas, including some from Ukraine. And as was preached on Ash Wednesday, liberating others, we liberate ourselves. There is a stirring near and far to reach out and help somehow. There is an intensity and earnest insight right around here, an interest and faithful application of good faith one way or another. Many years ago, right here, as the war in Iraq continued, we invested ourselves in refugee support. A young man, even younger then, a chorister become Episcopal priest, David Romanek, spent a year between college and seminary working in part on behalf of refugees through Marsh Chapel. We may need to conjure a way to return to that work now on behalf of Ukraine. We may need to conjure a way to return to that work now on behalf of Ukraine. There is a stirring near and far to reach out and help somehow. There's a stirring near and far to reach out and help somehow. Jesus meets us today in the fullness of his humanity, in communion with the communion of saints, all the saints, including those who from their labors rest. The levels of temptation our Lord endures, as rendered by St. Luke, begin with the physical bread, continue to the cultural power, and conclude with the spiritual religion. Hunger, avarice, and pride beset us still in temptations near and far. Our communion meditation this Lord's Day for the beginning of Lent places us in the presence of the humanity of Jesus in remembrance of his pain within that humanity and in a grateful, if bittersweet, thanksgiving for that utter cruciform dominical humanity. Amen.